So excited. We have a wonderful, wonderful guest for your enjoyment this evening, and we will be taking phone calls. And he is Lee Carroll, author of The Indigo Children, who channels Kryon, www.kryon.com, internationally known channel. He has worked with Kryon for 18 years. He's got 12 books in 21 languages. And he's been invited to the UN in New York to channel 5 times. I am just so happy you're with us because this week, I believe, has really been profound, at least for me and for a few other people that I know, because I truly believe that the ascension process has started. And I know that it's been in the process. So I know it's been an incremental preparation from all the channels about the ascension process, but I really think there's been quite a shift this week, so I'm just thrilled to have you on so that we could talk about this. So welcome.
Well, I'm very, very, very happy. This is our first time together, and I'll admit I have, although I've been to your area many times, I've never met you in person, so that's going to have to be something we do someday, but I am truly, this is a, I don't know if you can say, this is a Saturday afternoon for us. And I don't think I would rather be doing anything else but talking about this right now.
That's terrific. Thank you. I wanted to share with the audience some of my process that's been happening and then get to Kryon because, as you all know, I'm very much into my own psychology and as a therapist, that's where I live in. But I've added the extra elements of my life as being a shaman of sorts and channeling many different energies. And one of the things that occurred to me this past week was that I had a particular dream, and this dream was that I went into a temple, and I was naked in front of a bunch of people. And on the right-hand side was a line of people. And at the end of the line was this male, this man, and he was looking at me in this kind of not so respectful way. And he smiled at me, and I smiled back as if to say, I am beautiful. And I felt that way, but I also felt it was kind of an innocent smile. And then I was led away into another part of this temple, which was in China, by the way, and we were all Chinese. And this woman takes this knife, and she starts cutting me. And then she cuts my third eye in half. And then telepathically I tell her, it's really time to get it over with, because I knew I was dying. So cut my left arm vertically. And as she was doing this, I was very aware that there was another woman to my left who was ahead of me, who was also going through this same process. So she cuts my arm, and I go unconscious. And then I wake up, and I'm in this lucid state, and I couldn't believe I was alive. And I kept repeating, I'm alive, I'm alive. I just can't believe I'm alive. And as I'm saying this, I'm feeling all of this, like, shift in my energy. And there's three women in front of me, and I don't tell them what's happening. But I hear, because I don't believe that they could possibly relate to what I just went through. And then there, I hear this woman chanting way in the background, this beautiful, melodic Chinese chanting. And I'm going, where is that woman? I know she saved me. I know she saved me. Where is she? So I have been in this state for the first time in my life of knowing what it is to be awakened. And it actually is, which is so surprising to me, it's actually a physical process. It's not just some kind of metaphor, which I thought it was going to be, or whatever it was going to be, whatever my thoughts were, they weren't correct. So I've been in this other realm of knowing about this realm. So I've been viewing things from this other realm and looking at this realm at the same time. And in doing that and just being in this energy, because I haven't really talked with my guides and channeled much about it, because I'm more interested in seeing what the energy is and just being in it. But in being in that energy, it's really become very clear to me, looking from this place to humanity and Earth, how bad we all feel. Now, I didn't know that I felt bad. I had no idea until I looked out from this vantage point.
Everything's relative, isn't it?
I'm sorry?
I think everything is relative in that regard, is it not?
Yeah.
Now, if you will let me, I would love to interpret your dream.
Yes, please do.
So this is dangerous because you're the psychologist. We've got a role reversal going on here. But this is precious. I can't imagine a more profound dream. I will tell you this, your particular dream, every single one of them is different. As you know, mm-hmm. all our brains work very, very different. But the attributes of what you just went through are totally, completely classic for those moving to another step in ascension.
That's exactly it.
You are, let me just tell you, the walking into the temple is always representative of your own soul, if you want to call it that. Let's call it a soul, although I don't even define that. Let's call it everything that is you, including your higher self, is that temple. You walk into the temple, and the first thing you see, and of course you come naked because that's how you come into the world, and so that's the way you're going to approach the temple. And the first thing you see, of course, is an authority figure. It's the man. Doesn't have to. In some dreams, doesn't have to be a man. But this is who you would relate to. And it's almost like he's looking at you and saying, are you ready? And you're saying, yeah, I am. You go to the next room, and that's where you're killed. And the killing is very interesting. I had the dream many, many years ago. I was machine gunned to death.
Oh, wow.
So you see, everybody sees this differently. And you're had to do with your third eye because of your work. And the elevation it is at the moment, this is what they're concentrating on. You're dying to self. This is the old, it's almost like part of your Akashic record is being, at that moment, elevated to another platform, almost like you became somebody else within the same body, which is the definition, according to Kryon, of ascension. And this is where you then are. You wake up, you can't believe you're alive. That's because you have so completely felt your death that you're astounded and you're amazed. And the women you're asking, you know, who saved you? And this woman saved you. That woman is you. You're looking back down on who you used to be. So this is classic. And I have walked the line myself. Mine was very different. But I've also heard people talk about this. And if I could say anything about that, I would say congratulations. But you've got to be feeling it. You're going to feel this for weeks.
I am. I'm just in this space, and it's just so wonderful to me.
People don't believe this. There are so many of those who would doubt that such a spiritual attribute would even belong to human beings. So they say, well, dreams are wonderful, and you guys just imagine it, isn't it nice, and bless you all as you float away as in fairyland, but this is life-changing. What I tell people, I say, if you don't believe it, it doesn't matter, it doesn't hurt my feelings, but how do you explain the fact that I've never gone backwards? How do you explain the fact that when I have elevated to another place, I think differently, my wisdom is different, my patience is different, and I never go backwards?
Yeah.
This is something that is spiritually attainable. It's changed my DNA, and that's where I sit. That's my story. I'm not changing it.
Well, I thank you so much for that interpretation. I really appreciate that. But it's led me to some questions for Kryon that I wanted to ask about. And one of them, as I'm looking from this space towards humanity, okay, so I'm looking back, and I see that we all feel bad, and then I look underneath that, and I see that we feel bad because we do so much to stave off death in terms of all of our activities. And it really struck me as to what activities then become meaningful. And then underneath the feeling bad, it was the connection to everyone else, it was the connection to us, to ourselves, and to everyone around us. So that becomes the meaning. But what is it? I mean, what is the purpose of our enslaving ourselves to begin with?
This has been given many times by Cryon, and,
yes.
and I will just, it's, you know, it's like saying, what is the meaning of life? I'll give you a sound bite. And it doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
The duality is a word we throw around all the time, but it basically echoes what the masters have said since time began. All of the masters said it in different ways. You can point to the scriptures. Even Muhammad said it, and this is that there's a spark of divinity inside every single human man and being that demands that they look and find this duality. The duality is something is hidden. You come in as a divine creature, and what is hidden is the fact that you are a divine creature. There is a reason for the divinity and this hiding thing called the duality, and that is the meaning of life. And that it is so difficult to explain why we do it, but let's just
right.
say,
exactly.
let's just say that we all know on the other side of the veil what's going on, and when we get here, we don't. And there's a reason for it, a profound reason for it, and we have tremendous support, so much support that masters would come to this earth and tell us over and over the beautiful news of it and to give us the helps to get through it, because there's something going on. Cryon says when we leave the earth, then we know again, and we ask, you know, did we do well? How is it going? What's the vibration like? Are we on the right track? So there's a big, what you would call a mystery that hides. Meanwhile, you and I, as human beings, have got this duality, and every once in a while, we get to feel both sides. We feel the divineness of it, your ascension process. At the same time, you feel the grief for mankind.
Right.
At the same time, you feel you want to cry for all humanity because of the darkness that is in or what is going through. And this duality, it's almost, I call it a dichotomy of emotions, really drives us forward. And sometimes people, it gets in the way of people. They have a very, very hard time with it until they understand that there's light and dark, and you're supposed to spend your time in the light. You know, and that's, I know this is like sappy, simple stuff, but believe me, the complexity of it would drive you crazy if you had to really, truly understand it. There's something Cryon calls about cosmic intelligence. It even drives prayer, where we really don't have to understand a great deal about the workings of this divinity in order to take advantage of it and in order to work it very, very well. It's like the engine of a race car, and we don't have to understand those workings in order to step on the accelerator and make it go. And we've got that engine inside us.
Okay. So there must be something, and this is something that my guys have told me, that it's a call and response.
Oh, yeah.
That the source is really looking for our input, which is funny to me.
Why? That's proof that what we teach, source is looking for our input. Let me give you another story.
Mm-hmm.
We're channeling in front of 3,000 people, and Cryon says, guess who came to see whom? And what he's saying is that the angels in the room have waited so long in order for every single person to sit and say, yeah, I want to meet you. And so we have all these people supposedly trying to get spiritual information, and they have no idea that gathering in the room are 10,000 angels, all who have stood in line to see the humans. This is a validation that it may go both ways, and we do have that divinity. And what you want to call God needs us as well. And so here we are with you telling me, you know, that you're being consulted. That validates it. I believe it.
I believe it too. I think we're all being consulted, which makes us so wonderful and important and marvelous and so divine.
So many people, and since you're a psychologist, you know you deal with mainly people who would come to see you. They don't come to see you or phone you up and say, "I feel great." Why is that? You know, they don't. it's just the opposite. So you deal with a lot of unhappy people, a lot of people who are in frustration. And I think the biggest issue is finding the light, finding the divine inside you, because when it takes place, this is where your stability is. This is where your wisdom is. This is where, what do you want to call it, that spark that that people think you're a good person to be with and you're balanced. This is all has to do with ascension.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk more about that. And I also want to encourage people to call us on our wonderful world toll-free number, 1-877-876-5555. 215-225-2227, and we welcome your phone call. So please give us a call now. So tell us, why is it that we're in the ascension process?
We have to be. I could give you numbers of reasons. Even the Aztecs and the Mayans knew it. Mm-hmm. This planet is going through an accelerated shift. I have many friends who channel. I don't have any problems with other channels at all. In fact, many of my conferences feature multiple channels. We channel side by side on stage. We have a common theme, whether it's Pepper Lewis, who channels Gaia, or whether it's Fred Sterling, who channels an entity called Karel. We're all talking about the same thing. There's a shift going on the planet where actually the Earth is moving into another energy. A lot of people are going to check out because of it, because they just simply cannot deal with it. And then there are those who are feeling it and are going with it and must go through an altered state of transformation in order to stay here without going nuts. And this is not bad news. This is not evil stuff. This is because we have earned it. This is one of the reasons why you have angels consulting us. They want to know what you need next, where do you want to go, and how fast can you do this.
They're making a list.
They're making a list and checking it twice. And part of what Brian said 18 years ago when he came in was that there's a shift of consciousness that is going to happen. Well, it has. He's given there's a checklist I use in seminars showing what was Brian's words 18 years ago, and so many of them have happened. Then I ran into a man many years ago named Fred Sterling. I just mentioned his name.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a book. He's channeled Chiral. He wrote a book called The Great Shift. And I asked him what it's about. And he started telling me everything that I've been channeling. So this is common, intuitive information for all humanity. It's not something that one guy has. And it's being spouted from so many channels and so many sources in different words that we have changes happening on this planet. That's why so many of us waking up at 3 in the morning saying, you know, what's going on? There's a lot of fear connected because change does that, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't fearful change at all.
No, it's wonderful change. And one of the things I want to share with people who are listening right now is that if you pick up a Sedona Journal of Emergence, you will see that we're all channeling the same thing because
it is
the same information, which was one of the wonderful things that was one of my experiences about 5 years ago when I started having my articles published through them, is that I noticed that, oh, well, you know, there it is. We're all saying the same thing. So.
Yeah, we are. And we don't know each other. In my travels, every once in a while, I get to meet some of the channels that are in the journal, and we'll sit down, and it's such a joyful experience, and I find out the inner workings of their lives and what they're doing, and I tell you, we have so much in common. The path is not that unique. We have different stories to tell, but believe me, what I would call the love of God feels the same to everybody.
That's right. So what is the main purpose of the ascension process? Now, I know that you've mentioned a little of some of the aspects of it, and that some people are going to check out because they're going to experience the higher vibrations as some type of an ego death.
Yeah, it's not going to be the listeners here. It's others in survival. The actual purpose of ascension is to raise your vibration to match the planet.
Right. And what for?
So that when we get to this place we have agreed to, that was not on any of the prophecies 18 years ago, that we will say, this is how we created peace on Earth.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. That's exactly it.
And you want to listen to the news, and everybody who will challenge me, can't happen, can't be there. If you've stuck with the lineage of crime and the various things he's had to say, we're right on the target. We're absolutely right where we belong. Things had to get worse before they get better. And this perhaps is where I would tell everybody, if you want to go back 18 years and take a look at the words of Crayon, this is an angel. This is not a, I know it's a name that sounds like spray paint, but it's an angel. And this angel said, all of the prophecies of your Bible are gone. And that was the first thing he said. He said, you moved off the track, there's not going to be an Armageddon, and there wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be any of the prophecies, and they haven't. Nostradamus' prophecies stopped way before 2001. And I'll challenge anybody on that one, because let me give you the biggest one. 2001, what did we get? We got 9/11, which when I was at the UN 2 years ago, 1 year ago, Cryon said has changed all of history. It'll change, two generations will react to 2001 in America, and will change the whole political structure of the Earth. You're seeing that right now going on. That was never prophesied in any scripture, and yet it's one of the biggest things we have going on Earth that's affecting almost 7 billion people. You'd think that Nostradamus would have prophesied that. You'd think that had been in Revelation, and it's not.
Well, it's kind of interesting that you're talking about this, because probably, maybe 4 or 5 years ago I started channeling JFK, and JFK started coming through me, and it was all about the World Bank and the creation of peace and how the political structure needed to be changed in order to create world peace. So this has been an effect in a lot of ways for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
So what is the list? I want to give our listeners an idea of the possible symptoms of ascension. Have you experienced?
Oh, but you're back to ascension.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know the attributes of ascension?
No, what are some of the symptoms that people may be experiencing? You had a checklist. You mentioned a checklist.
The checklist of crying was not about ascension. It was a checklist about what to expect in the future back then. So I will give you that one first.
Okay.
And the first one, he says, a definite change in consciousness. Now, that's consciousness of the planet. Now, we're starting to see that in spades. And in our seminars, we go right to science. So does my friend Greg Braden. We go right to science. And we see the validations of many of the things that were never, ever suspected, including this incredible resurgence of what they all will call intelligent design, which is what science is now saying has to be the way of the universe. They'll say everything but the God word, but they're saying it had to be some kind of creative force. It could not have happened by accident. Now, that's a tremendous change of consciousness right there, coming from physicists and from astronomers looking at things. We've had sociologists now say that we have a fifth wave that's guiding us, whereas only four have been noticed in all of humankind. We have now a fifth one before us, where people are starting to guide themselves by an internal intuition. And that is starting to make a difference in how people make decisions. This is coming from sociology. I've got this all in our seminars. This is all science. Cryon said the magnetic grid would move more in 10 years than it had in 100. It did exactly that. That's what CNN said. All of these things are about Earth shift. These things that he has talked about. There's a whole bunch more. I don't want to bore the audience, but when we get right down to how does that affect you and this ascension process, there's a lot of people, especially the people who are spiritual, mm-hmm. and they may be churchgoers, they may not, it has nothing to do with it. Anybody who's spiritual is starting to wake up and ask questions, like, for instance, is there more than I was told? One of the things that you're seeing, isn't it odd? Can I just talk about this for a minute? Can I talk about the Da Vinci Code?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it odd? You've got a made-up thriller. This is Dan Brown said, I made it up. He's only got four books, and he's competition to Clancy. He writes high-tech novels. That's what he does. That people chase each other and kill each other. This is all he does. He's not even a real spiritual guy. And he wrote a book that he made up using what some have called mythology from the past regarding Mary Magdalene and some of the others, and it had become almost the bestseller of all time. And I say to you, think for a moment, what would cause that? Is it just a tremendous anomaly, or could it be that people are starting to wake up and ask these kinds of questions about their spiritual history, and some of them are ringing true? And that's enough so that almost 30 million people who bought that book in the last 2 years are, looking at it in a whole different way than it just being an interesting novel. These are the things we're looking at that are very, very different. Ascension status is something that you will then start feeling within you. You'll wonder whether everything is right. When I say people waking up at 3 in the morning asking, what's wrong? Everything is fine, except there's something wrong. I'm not feeling the same. They're responding to a universal truth that is trying to wake them up to start looking around. A lot of people see an 11-11 on the clock. That's right. That same kind of a deal. 11/11 is the kind of the marker. Back in 1987, it was called the 11/11, which is where we turned the corner. So that was 2 years before Cryon came in and started channeling with me. These are all just little things that start to add up to big changes within individuals.
Now, I have a couple of questions, but I'm going to jump ahead to one of them. So let's say that we create peace on Earth, finally. Thank God, thank the Source. And we have this peace. What becomes the call and response? In other words, what becomes the expansion? What becomes the developmental growth process from peace?
I think you'd have to ask a generation that has not even been on the drawing board. I think you'd have to. This is getting too spooky for your listeners. You'd have to ask the Pleiadians.
All right, go ahead. I had UFO energy, so
yeah,
I was wondering where it was coming from.
You'd have to ask you'd have to ask a society that's gone there and done it.
Okay.
You'd have to find out what purpose does a planet have that vibrates so high that the whole universe knows of their existence. I think the answer is that because we would done this by ourselves, kind of in the dark, without using any kind of magic or anything else, but only what we were given here by our own tools, that somehow changes the energy of not only us but the universe. I would love to see peace on Earth. Cryon has said that it is our our legacy. That it isn't going to happen very, very quickly. Nothing does. But these things happen slowly. But you're going to see an incremental change. And when it finally happens, you're still going to have a lot of contention. People don't think alike. So there's going to be skirmishes and those kinds of things. But in general, you're going to have an agreement. And that is what civilization is about, how you trade with each other, what money means, and moving forward into a planet that works together. And as soon as we have that click, and I can't tell you that's going to be 25 years or 50 years, that's when things start moving in a whole other direction, which almost nobody talks about. We've got too much in front of us now. The mountain is here to climb.
Right. Yes, it is certainly here.
Yeah.
But it would be an interesting space to be in just to see what.
Well, I've had so many insights into how to climb the mountain.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, too, that almost none of them are being done by the governments, but that's not necessarily bad news. It's almost like, the wisdom of it is not at hand yet, and time has to pass, and other things have to go by and happen. But every time I go to Israel, I am faced with these messages.
Okay, let's hear them.
You got to stand in the holy places that are revered by the major religions of the planet, which represents about 4-5 billion people, which is almost about 80% of the planet, represented right there. You stand in Jerusalem. And Cryon said early on to me, he says, as go the Jews, go Earth. Now this, you want to start looking at the lineage of the Jews all the way from the Egyptians to Hitler to whatever. They've been, and to Iran. This is a group of people who somebody on Earth always wants to eliminate.
Right.
And so here we have a situation that when that stops, when the elimination of the Jews stops being an agenda, you will have peace on Earth. So there's something connected there. And so this is why Cryon begs us to send our light to Jerusalem, to make peace plans there, to work with Hamas, to work with the Jews, and has the countries of Earth concentrate their wisdom on putting that together. What Cryon said is that all of the hatred emanates from there right now, as far as the enemies of the U.S., the enemies of the West. If we get that going, they'll have no reasons other than just because we do well to hate us. It's for all of these religious reasons now. Cryon has even talked about Islam. He talked about Muhammad. He said Muhammad was the one who came out of the cave and united the Arabs and gave them the God of Israel. That was the message. Give the Arabs the God of Israel. And for years, their prayers faced not Mecca, but Jerusalem. This is all facts. And this is, you want to see what one man made of things. This is, take a look at history. It's there for you to see how we take things and rip them apart and put them back together, and then, they serve ourselves. But even Islam started out differently than perhaps the way it is today. So we have many masters, and I believe that Muhammad was one of them, giving us these precious messages about unity and about peace. And now it's up to us to start this ball rolling.
You know, it's interesting because you were talking about the fifth element earlier on in the show. And I don't know if you've seen the movie The Fifth Element.
Yeah, sure.
Death with the female and love.
Yeah.
But it is about bringing in the feminine energy right now as well. And
well, of course, and I don't know how many male listeners you have. I'll say 20%. And that's
I
just
hope
me.
More than that.
I would hope it, too. We're having a lot more than that starting to come to seminars. But in the past, it's been, demographically, those who would listen to a program at this time of day would not be male. But I tell my male attendees in the seminars, don't be scared when we talk about what happened to the Venus transit. Don't be scared when you have information that the planet is starting to have a change regarding balance of male-female energy
exactly.
and power.
That's
and the
exactly
reason
what I
not to be scared is wouldn't if you were if you had your choice in a family, you're a child in a family. Wouldn't you like to have the mother and the female balanced? Wouldn't you like to have mom and dad not arguing? Wouldn't you like to have a situation where they consult one another and decisions are made for the perfection of the group instead of dad just coming home and yelling and saying, this is the way it is? And I say, yeah, I would. Well, you know, that's the way I'd love to have it. And that's what we are looking at on the planet, too, is that we have been male-heavy for so long. We're looking at a balance. We're not looking at that goddess energy coming to slay all the men, which is so often what they're so afraid. But it isn't that at all. It's about balancing up a planet that's been out of balance, and that it's as simple as that. And that's going, you know what that's going to do? That's going to change the way leaders make decisions eventually. You're not seeing it right now, hardly. But we're going through a lot of what Kryon says is the darkness before the revelations.
Right. You know, and that's always so interesting because in psychology, that happens too. I mean, it's so interesting because it happens on so many different layers, like layers of an onion, in terms of our own inner selves, in terms of our true self, that we always bring up these dark situations that, of course, get manifested outwardly in these dark situations that come up to confront us.
It's the way nature works. People are always shocked when you can then apply it to bigger things, but it's intuitive.
Yes. Okay. Well, callers, please call us 1-877-877.
Oh, we're having such a good time without them. If they don't want to call, we'll just do our thing.
Yeah, we will do our thing. So are there any specific messages that Kryon would like to offer us this evening?
Yeah, oh yeah, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know where to begin. Let's begin at the core issue. Who do you think you are? That's the core issue, number one. People want to know, what are the steps of ascension? There are none. There's one. But everybody wants a book. Give me the 1, 2, 3, 4. We're so linear.
Right.
We are so 3D.
The 5 steps.
Yeah, we want the 5 steps. We want the 12 steps. And from here to there, then we're going to have ascended. No, it's a lot harder than that because you've got to sit on the floor totally alone and say, I am divine. I am a creature that always has been and always will be. I'm a part of God. And so the first thing you got to do if you're, let's say you live and born in the USA, you've got to get over the whole the thing that religion may or may not have taught you. If you're fortunate, they didn't, where you're born dirty. And, you know, you haven't got a chance, and that God is some power in the sky that's looking down at you, and, you know, and you're nothing, and God's everything, and to make it worse, somehow, some way, when you got here, you were born dirty, and you got to now make up for it. This is a lot of stuff to get through,
mm-hmm.
and this is what a lot of us have had to get through in order to
yes,
get to this place.
Yes, and that's
life.
Why in my dream, when I was looking back, I just felt all the badness.
That's right.
That humanity feels. And the other thing that I want to share with you, Lee, is that when I looked back, I could see my etheric field, and I couldn't look at other people's etheric fields because it was so incredibly personal that it was more personal than looking at somebody naked.
Yep.
So I couldn't look, but I noticed myself averting my eyes to other people's affair field, but I was looking at mine, and I could not believe how scarred I was.
Yes. In the etheric field, if you depending upon your gifts and what you could see, according to Krayon, there is the Akash, the Akashic record of all your lifetimes, everything you've ever done on the planet. And,
oh yeah.
This is very bearing. It's who wants to see, for instance, if I were a warrior and I had, do you want to see how many people I might have killed or what I might have done? Do you want to see the murders I did? In growing up through the many lifetimes I've had to get to this place where I know better, it's a very, very slow growth process. We've got some wonderful information that we've had from Krayon over the years and from others as well regarding this very thing. And if you don't believe in past lives, then I'm going to lose you. But if you do, then this might be interesting. First of all, past lives, nobody is ever going to prove that there's anything called past lives. It's going to be an elusive thing. It's an interdimensional concept. And yet, I'll just bring this up. According to Time Magazine, one of the religious articles that they did, 85% of the Earth believes in the afterlife. That means they believe in eternal soul. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. The intuitive information that I'm giving you. They believe in the eternal soul. 85% of the Earth. That's a whopping percentage of.
That's a fair amount.
Yeah, and yet almost none of them believe in the forelife. So this means that you somehow got an eternal soul when you arrived. And that doesn't make any kind of spiritual sense to me.
Not at all.
Never has. So it would be more logical to believe that maybe you always had a soul and you're just here visiting. And so that's, you got to start there. And then perhaps you go around in a circle, which if you do is probably more intuitive naturally in nature than not. And what the good news that I bring, that Krayon says, is that every single lifetime, whatever you gather regarding spiritual knowledge stays there. In other words, when you come back in and pick up and keep going, you can reach down and pick that up and keep going.
Yes.
I've had people who had no idea about any of this start channeling and spout wisdom at me like I was sitting at their feet and they were the shaman. In other words, when they pick up the jar and when they open it and when they go for it, it violates what we think in our 3D that you got to do. You got to go through so much school, you got to through so many people, you got to got to teach you and all. But this is not the case. I've watched this over and over where people pick this up and they keep going and they were ashamed in their last lifetime and you could tell. So this is good news. Wouldn't you like to have it that way, knowing that if you were to come back, and you probably will, that you don't have to do this all over again? And so, for instance, in your case, surely you had a little quiet time and you had to ask yourself, dear spirit, if I were to come back, will I be able to remember this, or will I have to go through that dream again? Am I going to have to go through all of this again? The answer is you don't have to go through any of it again. If you choose with free choice to say, I want to keep going, this is part of what floods into you, and many call it ascension. It's the bring up. You're mining your own Akash when you bring everything up to speed and you keep going from where you were. But until you give intent for that, you're just sitting there.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that occurred to me, and as you're talking about having to go through something again, is that when we go through this ascension process and we do become awake, and hopefully, well, no other choice, and in harmony and peace and balance with one another, and we realize that we are awake, is there going to be, according to Krayon, immortal life? Because it wouldn't make any sense to have death.
It doesn't make any sense to have death now.
No.
So what we do is we have, through a conscious effort, I might say, let's put it, vibrational intent. I'm now getting into metaphysical terms. Given our lifespan, a very short time.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back to biblical times and you have these stories of the masters living up to 900 years,
There
are those who say, well, now that has to be figuratively. It didn't really happen. Well, they had years then, just like we have now, and they were not stupid. And I believe that you see those masters and they lived that long. And
I do too.
Yeah, and if they did, the answer is, well, how? And the answer is very clear, and Kreiner says it's because they had DNA which rejuvenated in a way that kept them here. And that is what ascension status is beginning to be. And so the answer to your question is we can live longer, and we're supposed to live longer.
Yes.
And as a human race, we will eventually develop a very, very long life if we choose to. And that's just part of the package. And there is starting to be evidence of that. You know, we're babes in the woods at rediscovering what's always been there inside. I practice youthing all the time. I want to... If I don't know about living longer, but those years that I'm living, it's going to be as a young man,
mm-hmm.
You know? And so I'm doing it. I get blood tests. I look at blood chemistry. I'm doing it. I'm doing it with my mind. So this
Somebody told me when I was out in L.A., I was at the Learning Annex, and I happened to mention my age. And she said, don't mention your age while you're up there.
Yes.
Think of yourself as 30. And she happened to have a brain injury. And what had happened was is that apparently she had to get rehab for her brain injury, so she got a lot of education in regards to her brain injury. And she found out that the brain believes only what it's told. So if you tell your brain you're 30, then you're 30. So I started doing that. I'm going to be...
Well, it sounds like you were in my seminar. We talked about that. Deepak Chopra actually started this whole thing about what is your reality. And we have so many interesting scientific experiments that show that your brain won't even allow you to see things that are actually physically there if you're told or not.
Right.
So it's very, very... very much the same with your physiological self. Your biology is going to have to learn to cooperate with your spirituality, and then that meld is going to give you a situation where you are in charge, finally. And you think that's kind of funny, but I'll challenge the listeners. All of our medicine is based upon the fact that you're not in charge. All the medicine,
right,
says,
absolutely,
you know, you're going to catch, let's say you catch cancer or something, mm-hmm. and you never feel more violated. And those of you listening here who have ever had that test and have a doctor say you have cancer, the violation is the fact that your body failed you. And the reason it did is because you have no idea you're in charge. When's the last time you had a meeting with yourself? When's the last time you actually meditated hard enough so that you could go inside and you all agreed to visualize your DNA when it was 10, or those kinds of things? Once you start becoming in charge, then the cellular structure of your body doesn't just run away with itself and have a nice day apart from your consciousness, which is basically what people think it does.
And that is very true, because once you go into that other dimension where you realize that you're awake, you can look back at your etheric body and make it healthy the way you need to make it. And you're in charge of that. Absolutely.
The gurus showed us this. I mean, you know, and some still do. These the Indians we look at, we think it's parlor tricks where they're slowing their heart down. And, you know, I think here in San Diego we have the ashram of Paramahansa Yogananda, and that's where he laid in state for 2 weeks after he died. And in the biography of Yogi, they tell about it, where his body did not know he was dead. And did not decay. At 2 weeks, it just, you know, finally, you realize the boss had left the building, and so they died. But that's what we're talking about.
One of the other things that I'm wondering, you've mentioned some questions that people can begin to ask themselves, and they can begin to be with themselves and just notice who they are.
Yep.
And their energy and what they are. Is there anything else that people can begin to do to heighten their acceleration into ascension?
I would love people to take it seriously that this is possible. So there's got to be a change in belief structure. That's the hardest thing to ever say you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you are willing to go the route and to start the process. Kreiner says that the only step to ascension, and it's so personal for everyone that you can't build a book about it, is you finally get to that place, not in desperation, but in pure intent, where you say, I'm ready. God, tell me what it is I need to know. And then you sit and you start collecting. Now, this is where you start channeling. You call it whatever you want to. This is then you do it, and you know, you're wise enough to admit it. A lot of people don't even want to talk about the fact that they're channeling. They channel for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They channel things that they couldn't possibly know. They channel advice. This is because there is a conduit here, call it the higher self if you want to, who wants to start feeding you this information slowly or as much as you can gain. Those people who start this process in that fashion, in this slow process, have life changes, and that's where things start to manifest. That's where we all started, and it's not casual. You don't do it with casual intent. Well, I'll try this, and if that doesn't work, I'll read another book, and if that doesn't work, I'll go on to some other religion. This is between you and God. And this is a meeting of your soul, and this is where you sit down and say, there's nothing I'd rather do than to feel the love of God in my life, and then you begin.
Now, we just have a few minutes, so I wanted to ask you about your workshops. Do you have workshops just geared towards what you're talking about, to
yes.
helping people?
I wouldn't call them workshops, because workshop means that you're going to sit down with a book and go through it. We have seminars,
okay.
which include everything I've been talking about and more.
Okay.
Some of them are interactive, some of them are not. Most of them are, you'll hear lecture and channeling, and we'll do Q&A. Some of them, actually, we do exercises and have 2 or 3 days together. We have an example of that coming up, and anybody listening here, I would be aghast if they could do this, because it's coming up this weekend, but it just happens to be we're on the air, and I'll just tell you
mm-hmm.
that we have our flagship event in Mount Shasta this weekend. And if anybody wants to know where we are, what we're doing, it's so easy. Cryon.com is where it is. And I do like 60 meetings a year. I'm all over the country, and in Europe and South America, and I'll even be in Russia next year. Well,
awesome.
That crime.com is where you see where I'm going to be. It's easy to see, and it's a very easy site to navigate. And so if you're interested in anything I have said or you want to know more, we would encourage you to take a look at the site and see if we're going to be close to you.
And you also have many books and CDs.
There's 12 books. A total of two of them are The Indigo Children. Jan Tober and I were the first to introduce the Earth to the whole principle of The Indigo Children. You can see what has happened to it now. We kind of bowed out of it and let others run with the ball, because we are not educators at all. We're channelers, and so we thought that it would be more believable if we backed off and let the educators and all of the others to go forward. I'm not sure that was the best idea. We have a third book coming up, trying to recapture the seriousness of it, because it's kind of been hijacked by the press lately. But that's another story. So those are some of the books we do. So you can see there's a lot here.
Do you have any other books that are upcoming?
I'm working on three. Any author is always working on books. Brian Book 11 is being worked on. Indigo Book 3 is being worked on, and one on DNA as well. So I can't tell you when they're going to be out, because we don't know. But that's part of the life of those who write. And I was not one who wrote until this all happened to me, which is another interesting thing. You talk about personality shift and gifts that you seemingly were not born with. There's a lot that comes to the front when you start changing your life in this way and giving permission to find a divinity inside.
Oh, well, we only have about 7 minutes, but I want to talk a little bit about that, and I'd love to have you back on the show.
You bet.
Great. That would be awesome. But how has this affected your own psychological process? Because you were an engineer.
I was an engineer. I never gave up my engineering. I never gave up my man brain.
Uh-huh.
I never gave up that logic.
You never gave up your power tools?
I never gave up my power tools. I love my power tools, and they're right here in my house. And so people ask me, when did I get, converted to the New Age and threw away all my logic? And that didn't happen. What happened is God got bigger, and it fit right into that logic bag. And I love to tell especially men about how that feels, to know so completely that is all united and it all works together, and you don't have to become fluffy in order to be one of the in the New Age. Personality-wise, I'll tell you, the biggest changes in me, in personal changes, if you, talk to my wife about these things, that's, getting personal, is my patience level, lack of anger, my ability to see good in all things, wake up happy. These are the kinds of things that you call balance. And they're the things that I cherish now because I never had them before, Rochelle.
Wow.
And this is all part of, I would call, the ascension process.
Wow. So you really feel and are in a state of grace.
Oh, yes. And it's universal. I know it's not just mine. It's part of the whole. It's a collective. I feel it for everyone. And part of my sadness on the planet is that they don't.
Yeah. Well, they will, though.
Yes.
I think underneath that, again, that feeling of badness, as in the dream, that people will come to a place of connection. Because that is the only meaning that there is.
Truly.
Yeah. Well, I thank you so much for being on the show. You were just absolutely fabulous, and you're just a wealth of information.
There's a lot more.
Oh, yes.
This show was absolutely probably one of the finest shows, I kid you not, on this network that I've heard. And I really think I'm going to allow this to be replayed often. I really, the way in which you came across, I mean, everything you said I agree with, I felt from beginning to end. I just love the way you communicated.
Great.
Thank you very, very much for being part of this program.
Thank you very much. It's a privilege, really a treasure to be here.
Thank you, Don. That is so wonderful. And that's Don Newsom, our wonderful producer.
See, Don's, that's a male voice, everybody.
Yes, that's right. And I do want to say this. Most of my clients are male, by the way.
Ah.
Yeah, I get a lot of male clients who are attracted to the feminine energy, who are attracted to feminine channel energy. So I think that's great.
Males are attracted to balance. Just give them a little more time to figure it out. But
yeah.
Believe me, it's a good thing.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what it is. They're coming to be balanced.
Yep.
For healing. So I appreciate you, Don Newsom. You are fabulous, and thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Don.
And I so appreciate you, and thank you for allowing this show to happen. And thank you to our listeners out there. You have just been fabulous, too. And we have had Lee Carroll on, who channels Kryon, and you can reach him at www.kryon.com and also at Mount Shasta this weekend, folks. Don't miss that. So I so appreciate all of you, and our guest next week will be Michael Levy, and he is a wonderful channel. So thank you, and all have a good and blessed week.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.